All right, Joshua chapter 2. Let's read a section of the scripture, and then we'll pray and meditate on it together. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, and especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly, you may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death." "Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hills, so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Verse 17. Now the men had said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us, unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Rahab lives in a prime piece of real estate, doesn't she? A house in the lovely Canaanite city of Jericho. The Lord calls funny people to his service, people you wouldn't expect, and Rahab is one of those. So as we walk through this narrative today, I want us to think about what God's call means for our lives, how we respond, and how ultimately Rahab teaches us lessons about something far beyond her own time, about Christ himself and his salvation of us when there shouldn't have been a way for us to make it out. Let's pray. Father, as we consider this afternoon the life of Rahab, I pray that our consideration would land ultimately on the life of your son Christ. I have a feeling Rahab would be displeased if she found we were all talking about her. She's in glory. She sees you. I pray that like her, we will be captivated by the offer of life in your kingdom. We will do all we can to forsake the sin and the self and the societies that want to hold us back and run to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, if you want to know the end of the story, you'll have to read it in Joshua 6. We may go there in a little while. But Rahab does make it out. Okay, so spoiler is over now. Rahab is saved, even though the walls collapse. Apparently, her house doesn't, because she's still there. The spies find her and bring her back to Joshua, and she lives in Israel happily ever after, and then on. Okay, so that's how the story ends. How does Rahab get from being a Canaanite prostitute woman to happily ever after in the people of God? Well, she lives in a whole city full of people, and nobody else makes it. Clearly, something unusual is going on here. So let's walk through the story and figure out how this works if we can. Notice with me in chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. I will start in 9. This is what Rahab says about her decision. She says, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, how you destroyed other peoples. And when we heard of it," verse 11, "our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below." That's a better profession than most of the Israelites could probably have made 40 years ago. And here it is, from a lady who lives in a city that doesn't even belong in the kingdom of God, who has a less than illustrious career going on, and who has merely heard the works of the Lord. We shouldn't marvel at Rahab. We should marvel at the word of the Lord. You see, she heard the word of what God had done, and already she is convinced, along with all the other Jerichoites, and we'll get to the difference between them in a minute, she is convinced that there is no way out of the judgment to come. She hears the word of the Lord and obeys it, and it puts her in a place of desperation. Now, what separates Rahab's hearing from all the other hearing? Has she heard something that the rest of the Jerichoites have not? Probably not. She has a career that puts her in contact with lots of people, so she probably gets news quicker than most, but she hasn't heard anything special compared to the rest of the Jerichoites. This has been old news. The Red Sea thing happened 40-odd years ago and more. Everybody knows the same stuff. What makes Rahab respond differently? Now, the rest of the Jerichoites, they're going to do something like what you see a lot of times when a country knows it's lost but won't admit it, and they're going to hide behind their walls and do nothing and trust in the status quo, right? And the Israelites are going to walk around the city, you know the story, a bunch of times, and on the seventh day they walk seven times and shout, and the walls fall, and there's a big slaughter. Why does Jericho disobey the word of the Lord and Rahab obey it? This is a great mystery to me. I'm not sure I'll ever understand it. Is she special? Not that the text tells us. Let's continue. So Rahab hears and believes, even though she hasn't seen. And now we're going to think about the prophetic element of Rahab's hearing and obeying the word of the Lord. There's a special blessing scripturally for people who see the works of God. Right? That's something to tell your grandkids about. And there's a special blessing scripturally for people who believe, having not seen everything there is to see. Rahab falls into that second category, and so may we. We haven't, physically, you and I haven't walked with Christ. He lived 2,000 years ago. And yet, we can look at the records of his life and his ministry and believe, having not seen everything there is to see. This is a great mystery. How would we be compelled to do something like that? How would Rahab be compelled to do something like that? And yet it happens. So Jericho trusts false gods, a strong military, the lying priesthoods of Canaan, and tangible walls. Whereas Rahab trusts what she can't even see, but she's heard about. Rahab escapes the coming judgment when she hears, believes, and obeys God's judgment. And the Jerichoites fall under it when they hear and harden their hearts, build up their walls a little higher with what rocks they can find lying around and hope for the best. Let's think about Rahab's position in Jericho as we start thinking, what makes her different? How does this work? Let's think about Rahab's decision, okay? I need a society to form over here. Can you guys form a society? Let's say it's the society for the eating of butter and not of artificial butter imitation. Okay? That little cluster, does that work for you? Okay, good. Who's your prez? Main man. The guy in the yellow. Yes. All right. And your beep, Steve Ross. Okay. All right. Beep is Jude. So if you guys are all dedicated to the eating of butter and not of artificial butter imitation, and Nate over here has another idea. Doesn't he always? Nate has another idea. He thinks secretly in his heart, butter's not that good for you. I've heard some things and read some reports on butter's just, it's just not the way to go. Eat that stuff, it's going to kill you. I'm not eating butter. Now, how do the rest of you feel about Nate?
I get his cookies.
You steal his cookies. What if you don't know? Ooh. What if you don't know? All right, catch this. Nate's over here doing this secret fake butter thing, and you guys don't even know. How do you feel about Nate? Same as you always did, right? He's part of the society. Nate, how do you feel about the rest of them? Do you feel a little weird? Yeah, well, you look a little weird, so that's... Yeah, so if you have a secret that you're hiding from all these other people who are dedicated to the same thing you are, that puts you in a tough spot. Do you see it? Do you feel it, Nate? You feel a little strange? Feel like you've been called out? Yeah. The rest of you, if you found out you'd eat Nate's cookies, you'd do mean things to Nate. You would come to understand that this man has to go from your society, wouldn't you? And you'd take steps. Say, we can't have an infiltrator. Think about Rahab. She has lived her entire life in a society. And now she has an option. Let me walk you through it. I've got this prepared, so I'm going to read it. If Rahab turns in the spies, she remains who she is, a prostitute of Jericho, and she avoids the pain of becoming an apparent traitor. Do you know how bad it would hurt to know that you had failed your country? That's something to wrestle with. Rahab can turn in the spies. And remember, the king sends her a messenger, says, give them up. And she doesn't. She says, I don't know where they went. But what if she had? She remains who she is. She keeps her status. And in fact, she may elevate it a little. Do you realize that her society is at war? And her turning in the spies would be a slight victory? Like the only one? She's offered her sin and her society and, in fact, her very self, because she knows the city's about to fall, and if she survives, it's going to be a new life from now on. Or think of it this way. What if somebody shows up and finds them? What happens to Rahab? Right? Yeah. She offers herself, gives up on her sin and her society and herself. Now, what if she clings to lesser joys and says, I'm going to turn these guys in? Well, she remains sinful and doomed, like the rest of the Jerichoites. But for the time being, things are a lot easier. Hey, Nate, what if you just decide you like real butter after all? Doesn't that clear things up? Sure, I guess. And we're always going to look at you a little funny because we know you had that one time with a blue bonnet or something. You know, we're like, oh, what was he thinking? But you're back in action, right? And the rest of Jericho might say, Rahab, why'd you put these guys away and then bring them out? But we're glad you did. Welcome back. She has to turn her back on everything she loves about her people. And she has to remain available and beholden to the rewards and disincentives valued by her whole society. If she keeps the spies, it comes with a package too. There's a short-term gain, some resolution of the little conflict. But she avoids the cross with all its temporary claims against her safety and comfort. This has a lot to do with us. I hope you're starting to see it. Now let's walk through a little further in the narrative and talk about what we can learn from Rahab's choice. Rahab hears, believes, and obeys the word of God by some divine miracle. The Jerichoites have all lost their spirit. And we can only attribute the kind of decision Rahab makes to a massive amount of spirit. And I use the word here in about five senses. She has to have some courage to take this step, to hide the spies, to make the risk, to turn her back on all she's known. She has to have courage. She has to have some fortitude and the kind of resolve that we call grit. To stick this thing out while she's waiting for the conquest. This is dangerous from now on. Do you see it? She needs spirit. But more than anything, she's got to make a decision that nobody makes. Jericho all has the same information, and nobody makes the right call but Rahab. This shows us that it's not just a fluke of personality that makes Rahab do weird stuff. This shows us that it's not just that she's a coward and doesn't want to die. There is something working inside Rahab right now, as there is whenever a sinner comes to repentance. Can we say that from the analogy of faith? We never come to Christ, hear, believe, obey, without the Lord graciously working on us. So as you read this narrative and you look at it, it's kind of inexplicable. Why would Rahab do this? What would compel her? Two things. Fear of the coming judgment. That's what she says. Our hearts melted. I was deathly afraid. Now promise me you'll get me out of here. And secondly, something way beyond Rahab that takes her to a level her society will never reach. A level of faith in Christ and his offer. Let's continue in Joshua chapter 6. I was hoping I would have time to get here, and I do. You guys are like, the question is not whether you do.
What was the second word, fear and what?
Fear and the Holy Spirit's work on her life. Now, sorry, I should have made that more clear, but clearly something is going on behind the scenes in Rahab's heart. All right, Joshua 6, go down to verse 25. Oh, well, we'll start in 24. I always do that. Fast forward a little while and a couple long walks. Then they, that's the Israelites, burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. You can find out later in Scripture that Rahab is an ancestor of Christ. She has a neat station in the people of God. She had the station of a despised person in Jericho. She didn't have the most illustrious career. When she transitions and becomes part of the people of God, he makes her sit with the princes of his people. Christ himself is in her bloodline. She lives among Israel to this day through the people that she saved. I want to take you to the New Testament and give you these three observations from some passages there, and then we'll wrap up. Join me first in Hebrews chapter 11. You may not be surprised. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read verse 1 just so we know what we're talking about. And because it echoes some of what Rahab did when she didn't believe, when she didn't see and believed anyway. So verse 1, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Down to verse, anybody see it?
31.
Thank you. I should have written it down. Down to verse 31. Pick it up in 30. Told you I always do that. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. When Rahab sees what God is doing, or rather hears what God is doing to the nations around her, and she knows the end is near, that this whole thing's about to burn, she is not alone. Have you gotten the notice? This whole thing's about to burn. The end is near. Turn back is a cliche because we've heard it so much, but have you heard it? Have you heard it with faith and obedience that Christ is coming to judge the world? He did it once by water, and a few were saved. He's going to do it again by fire, and a few will be saved. Have you heard? James chapter 2. This is a hard chapter to break into, so we're just going to jump in the middle. Verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." You believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and tremble. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. The Jerichos had bodies and no spirit. Sorry, the Jerichoites had bodies and no spirit. Their spirits failed. And Rahab was right there with them, no different, until somebody came to work on her heart. Something made her different from her entire civilization. She heard with faith because her soul had been made alive. And so the connection between faith and works is made only by the Holy Spirit, who gives us faith and at the same time brings us to life in Christ. The first day that Rahab saw those spies was the first day of the rest of her life. At that time, she identified with the people of God, and it took a while for the salvation to be made real. But boy, was it real. She gets a whole new life, a new start. Faith without deeds is dead, because faith always produces works. Faith and works in our lives are both the product of the Holy Spirit. We owe this to God. Finally, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 4. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, by the way. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. We would be remiss if we read Rahab's story and said, ah, faith and works, beautiful work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, duly producing everything God demands, even as God produces them in us. That is not what Rahab is all about. Rahab inherits a place in Israel, becomes becomes the mother of Boaz, who adopts a Moabite woman as his wife and brings her into his house. They produce Jesse, and Jesse produces David, and in David we get the stump, right? The little piece, the clearest portrait of Jesus in the Old Testament comes to us through Rahab, and in fact, Jesus himself had a little of her blood coursing through his veins. Maybe that's too literal. Yep, that's too literal. We may consider Jesus as being descended from Rahab. That's safer. This means for us is that Joshua is truly a prophetic book. Rahab looks forward to the one who alone had perfect faith in God to the point of laying down his life, who alone had perfect responsible actions in regard to faith, who alone lived the full command of the law. Imputes that same righteousness to everyone who believes, and including Rahab and including us. So Rahab looks back to the works of God and has faith in what he's about to do, and we look back to the works of God and have faith in what he's about to do, and this changes our lives. But there is a profound difference between our faith and hers. We have known Christ. And so without us believing in the way that Hebrews says we should believe, her faith is incomplete. She is looking forward, and we looking forward. More more clearly, I suppose. It's hard to articulate these things. I apologize. If you will, I'd like to read one other passage. I know I'm taking up a little more time than I indicated I would, but turn with me to Romans 8. Just can't get away from this, as I've read about Rahab. She turned her back on her sin, her society, and herself, and received a new life in Christ. Let's read about what this looks like in the new covenant. Verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Let's pray. Father, by your grace, cause us to cease trying to work up some salvation of our own. For the cause is completely lost. Make us abandon our old lives serving sin, self, and society. And let us throw ourselves and the people we love upon Christ. He stands at the door knocking with an offer of eternal salvation, a new kind of life on earth, and the power to fulfill your law's demands. Give us this Christ, and we shall never lack any good thing. Amen.